boxing fans around the world. Looks like I'm having a communication issue here. Am I live? All right. Looks like I'm live. Sorry about that. I was getting these notifications flashing in front of me. Anyway, let's get back to where I was. Welcome, Talking Fight fans, to another episode of Boxing News Today. And we've got some interesting stories, I believe, anyway, from the world of boxing. First up, Top Rank have proudly announced that they've signed undefeated super middleweight contender, currently fighting out of Montreal, Christian Mabili, 22 knockouts, co-promotional agreement with Eye of the Tiger Management out of Montreal. He's originally from Cameroon, and he's really looking forward to getting back in the ring. Obviously, he's a big punching super middleweight. We've seen him win, and we've been talking about him for ages on Talking Fight. So here's one that realistically, I think someone to look out for. He's champion in the making. Another one who's been yammering away on social media recently, Subriel Mateus. I think he's calling out Shakur Stevenson, who we'll get to in a second. But anyway, looks like Subriel Mateus and Liam Parro are in the process of finalizing a deal for a junior welterweight title to take place in Puerto Rico in June. It'll be a homecoming for Mateus, who will defend his IBF title at 140 pounds for the second time. His record, by the way, is 20-1 with 20 knockouts, and he stopped every fighter he's ever faced in the pros. His lone defeat, a decision set back to Petros Anayan in February of 2020. Though that was avenged 3 fights later with a 9th-round TKO in January 2022. So his past 6 fights were under the PBC banner, and now he signed a 3-fight deal with Eddie Hearn's Matchroom. And his bout against Parro, therefore, will be streamed on DAZN. Parro, by the way, is 24-0, 15 knockouts, no slouch at all, 27 years old. So it's going to be a good fight down in Puerto Rico. Speaking of champions in the making, great little story on BoxingScene.com, courtesy of Owen Lewis. I'm just going to read the few opening remarks he has to make with respect to professional boxing and, shall we say, who's involved and why are they involved and how do they get involved to make a champion. Come on. Come on, professional boxers. I'm about to tell you how to land a huge fight, he begins. Here's all you have to do. Win. Stay undefeated if you can. That's the most important thing. If you just keep on winning, no one will be able to ignore you anymore. You get a fight with a pound-for-pound talent or a huge star, and the really big fights are driven by casual fans who need easy marketing tools to get involved, like this guy has never lost before. So just don't lose, and you're set. Hold on. Sorry, I'm hearing that's not all. It's also crucial that you fight in an entertaining style. Otherwise, you'll bore the fans, and they'll never pay to watch you again, even if you have a spotless record. Plus, other fighters know that merely being associated with you will hurt their own ticket sales. Oh, and when you start fighting in that entertaining style, be sure not to look too good, at least not until you're a huge star. Otherwise, you might end up on the wrong end of the risk-reward equation. You sure don't want to end up like Gennady Golovkin, Triple G, in his early 30s, just maybe taking a few extra shots on purpose so the bigger stars in the sport will think they have a chance against you. But don't pull your punches enough to get clipped and knocked out. It's all about maintaining that zero. Are these starting to sound like unreasonable expectations to anyone else? There are exceptions to this path to stardom, of course, he continues. The late, great, marvelous Marvin Hagler took a loss early and recovered to become one of the best middleweights of all time. Floyd Mayweather wasn't scoring any thrilling knockouts in his last several fights and still had a lengthy reign as the sport's biggest star. But we're talking about two all-time greats here. For most fighters, an early loss or less than pulsating fighting style could prove crippling to their careers. I'm thinking about all this because while watching the Devin Haney, 31-0, versus Ryan Garcia, 24-1, promotion before Garcia started to exhibit concerning signs of deteriorating mental health, Shakur Stevenson, 21-0, popped into my head. I know, you're probably thinking, sigh, Shakur, the guy who stunk it out against Edwin De Los Santos in the most boring fight I've ever seen, who fake retired on Twitter and won't stop talking trash on that dumb app, even though he's done nothing recently to back it up. So I'm going to stop there because the article does go on for quite a while. But anyway, Shakur Stevenson is now back in the news. after that incredible performance against Edwin de los Santos. He's going to be fighting once again at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey on July 6th. He says it's payback time. He's from New Jersey, actually. He's 21-0, as I said, and he's going to be fighting an yet-to-be-named opponent. He said, I'm coming to make a statement and whip ass. A three-division champion. They're never playing me again, he says. I'm not a person to be played with. Now, you might say he was an extraordinary tactician and an elusive wonder, and leaned on those skills to defeat De Los Santos back in November in Las Vegas, which drew boos from the audience for the fight's rather inactive nature, you might say. Neither fighter landed more than 9 punches in a single round, and De Los Santos was subdued by Stevenson's evasive brilliance, landing a CompuBox record low 40 punches over the 12 rounds. Indeed, backlash. But nonetheless, less than 2 weeks later, the former U.S. Olympian silver medalist reconsidered plotting a return after announcing his retirement on Twitter/X. And in a conversation with Boxing Scene, he says he understands that while he gifts in the ring, his in the ring may not always be quite, might always equate to knockouts. He knows the way he can dazzle, that's his fan base. I'll be my sensational self and whip ass. I'm the best fighter in boxing. I know that, he says. Shakur Stevenson turned pro after winning a silver medal, as I said, in the bantamweight division at the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio. And he went on to multiple titles in featherweight and super featherweight divisions before moving up to lightweight. He currently ranks in the ring rankings at number 4 in the lightweight division behind Vasily Lomachenko, Gervonta Davis, and Isaac Cruz. And assuming that WBC want to save a fight against one of them for the future, some of his opponents on July 6th might include William Zepeda, Frank Martin, Raymond Martala, George Kambosos Jr., Maxie Hughes, and Keyshawn Davis, who quite frankly round out the top 10 in the lightweight rankings. So regardless of who Stevenson goes up against, it'll be a big deal if he fights on July 6th, as expected, since the bout is reportedly slated to take place in his hometown of Newark, which is also, by the way, where 2 of his past 3 bouts have occurred. So let's see if Stevenson does, in fact, return to the ring. Speaking of someone who will be returning to the ring very shortly, over in the UK, Lauren Price will challenge for her first world title when she takes on Jess McCaskill at the Utilita Arena in Cardiff on May 11th. That'll be shown live on Sky. Price has stepped up to world class in just her 7th professional bout as she takes on McCaskill, a former undisputed world welterweight champion for the WBA, IBO, and Ring Magazine world welterweight titles. Price is an Olympic gold medalist, 6-0. She outclassed Sylvia Barthaud in December in a points win, and she will aim to become Wales' first women's world champion. She said, I'm over the moon for this fight to be finally getting announced. I know Ben Shalom and my team have been working very hard behind the scenes to make this happen, so I just want to say a big thank you to them. Jess McCaskill is the current champion. She's game, experienced, and strong, but I'll be 100% ready for whatever she brings on that night. I believe in my ability. McCaskill from Chicago, Illinois, is a 2-weight world champion who unified the WBA and WBC super lightweight titles before moving up to end Cecilia Breakhouse's decade-long reign at the top of the welterweight division. Toppling Breakhouse with back-to-back wins in 2021 and 2022, McCaskill became undisputed champ at 147, a weight class where she remains undefeated. McCaskill, by the way, has previously challenged Katie Taylor for the WBA super lightweight title in 2017 and Chantel Cameron for the undisputed super lightweight title in 2022. Most recently, McCaskill fought to a draw with Britain's Sandy Ryan in a fiercely contested welterweight unification clash. So that looks like a really good fight coming up in May. She said, I don't know much about Price, but when it comes to fighters from the UK, the expectation is usually lots of backpedaling and holding. Price is hopefully going to want to put on a good show, and that's exactly what I want because I plan on doing the same. I'm here to steal all her fans. I'm going to show her what it takes to be a champion, and the belts will be coming back to America with me. Well done, Jessica. That's going to be a great fight to watch. Let's flip the switch here. Let's move over to what Ryan Garcia had to say when talking with Jake Paul, I think this is all online, by the way. They had a chit chat online. Let's have a quick look. And this is with respect to the recent announcement that Jake Paul will be fighting Mike Tyson, who, Jake Paul being 24 years younger, is taking still one heck of a risk going up against Iron Mike. Said Ryan Garcia, I don't doubt you too much because I know you've got the mentality as I do. I know you've tapped into something that I know you've been tapping to, so it's hard for me to go against you. I just think Mike is a whole different animal, said Garcia. I've met him in person, as you have, but the dude is built different. Jake Paul replied, he's strong as shit. Just shaking his hand when we just filmed the shit. I've never felt a hand stronger than that before. He wasn't like squeezing. He wasn't trying to squeeze it. It was like real. And I was like, oh, fuck. Right, Garcia replied, I've got to give you props. You're different for this. I mean, I never even imagined it. It's really going down. It's not pre-planned. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying if it's not pre-planned, I'm going to pray for you. You're nuts. Jake Paul replied, that's what everyone's saying. Even my dad was like, yo, what? This is going to be the hardest. My mom, when I told her, she was like, are you going to get knocked out? Anyway, he said, there's a part of me that's just a little more scared than any of my other opponents, just because I know the power is the last thing to go. He still has that muscle memory. When he starts bopping around and throwing those big hooks and uppercuts, to which Ryan said, I understand your determination. You'll figure out a game plan. I pray you'll be okay. And Mike is okay too. We'll see what happens. That's for sure. Anyway, speaking of that particular fight down in Saudi Arabia, Eddie Hearn was quick to talk down Tyson's return to the ring. And he told the media, I guess if you criticize it, you're a hater, aren't you? So I'm probably not the best person to ask because I love the sport of boxing. I find it incredibly sad, but it's a big event. You can't deny that. But is he 60 yet? Mike Tyson, 58, something like that? One of the greatest fighters that ever lived, said Hearn. True. But I'm one of the small percent of absolute mad boxing lovers that actually breaks my heart to see that. Because just days before AJ's knockout win, the Matchroom Boxing chief expressed interest in Manny Pacquiao facing Conor Benn, which I reported on the other day. Pac-Man has not fought professionally since 2021, and Jake Paul's co-founder in Most Valuable Promotions, Nikisa Bedarian, was quick to call out Hearn. He said on social media, it's incredibly ironic and, as usual, hypocritical of Eddie Hearn to talk negatively about another event. Eddie was standing between Manny Pacquiao, a very small statured 45-year-old man, and his next opponent, a 27-year-old Matchroom fighter who has had issues getting licensed in the UK to box again. It's incredibly sad. He spends more time speaking about other people's business than he does tending his own. As we all know, Ben in 2022 failed two pre-fight drug tests before his would-be fight with Chris Eubank Jr., and he's been fighting to clear his name ever since and been fighting outside of the UK in order to continue keeping busy. And as we know, I announced it the other day, he probably will be entering the ring against Pacquiao. And Eubank is still not finalized yet, but we'll be back in the ring shortly as well. Anyway, I'm going to end today's episode by talking about a Canadian boxer who's on her way to the International Women's Hall of Fame after an undefeated boxing career that ended, I believe, 10 years ago or so. Her name is Kara Rowe. She's now out of Windsor, which is also where Talk and Fight Cedric Benn, who you might know from the Knuckle Up series or the Knockout of the Week Award show, or his own show called The Scorecard. Anyway, Cedric Benn's out of Windsor, and so is this lady. Kara Rowe is heading to the International Women's Boxing Hall of Fame. She grew up in Sudbury, Ontario, a few hours north of Toronto by car, and has always played a wide array of sports. And she went to Windsor to go to university and play on the volleyball team, but found her love for boxing via her boyfriend at the time, who played in the Ontario Hockey League, and joined him at a local boxing club because they thought it would help his career after signing a professional contract. She said, I fell in love with boxing after my first workout. If something can be this challenging, I have to be part of it, she said. Roe became a huge part of the sport. In April 2025, she'll be inducted into the International Women's Boxing Hall of Fame during a ceremony in Las Vegas, joining only a handful of other Canadians. So we're all proud of her and well done to Cara Roe. She had a 17-0 record between 2002 and 2011. And won the Women's World Lightweight Championship in 2005, but was forced into early semi-retirement due to back injuries and turned her focus to training, ring announcing, and commentary for boxing, as well as a few other mixed martial arts sports as well. So good for Cara. She did return to the ring to fight in Detroit back in 2022 and won, but had to hang up the gloves, I think, in order to be... in order to qualify for the Boxing Hall of Fame. And she said, it was so much fun. I'd do it again if there was a better purse involved. It's kind of like women fighting. The dollars aren't really there. You're doing it because of love, she said. And good for her and good for the people who she's training right now out of Windsor's Border City Boxing Club. And they eventually obviously make their way up the ranks or into other gyms and across the river into Detroit. Good news for Canadians and Canadian boxing fans. Cara Roe going into the International Women's Boxing Hall of Fame. Sorry about that. All right, boxing fans, thanks for joining me here on Talking Fight. Appreciate it. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell for me. We'll see you again, 11 a.m. Eastern Time live, or just catch me on talkingfight.com.